Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
They're not holding the raw ability or lack of reps against Jonathan Kuminga. Jonathan Kuminga's figured out a way how to fit in. James Wiseman never did. So it's not just like, if you're old, we're worried about you more than if you're young. We're not worried about you, and we're going to not try to blend you guys together because the old guys can't hack it. No, they found a minute and a space and a place for Kuminga. They just couldn't for Wiseman, and they haven't for Moody.
But more
to the point.
Not more to the point. I have to stop doing that. It's that earlier in the year, what you saw was the starters playing very, very well, and the second unit playing poorly. And if you want to make that a young versus old divide, that's fine. But the Warriors are not rebuilding yet. That's why the two-track concept was probably flawed in its inception. Because, you know, all of a sudden they got panicked about, well, these guys don't have a whole lot of tread on the tire left. And then they went out and proved early on, well, yes, they do. And you had better do the smart thing and ride these guys out as long as you can. And it's up to the young guys to fit into that. And as you said, Kuminga has done that to a certain extent. Moody has not. Wiseman never did. And so it was not, I think, a recognition of, you know, the veterans having, you know, an emotional issue with this whole thing. It's that they were performing better. And at some point, you have to be pragmatic. And if you don't have the right young guys, you have to have faith in the fact that there are more young guys always coming up every year. And if these guys don't work, or if some of them don't work, you replace them and find new guys that maybe will. So I don't think this is a sort of a master plan or anti-youth. It's they took the information that they were given by the players game in and game out, and they said, we can't afford to do this yet because our starters are too good and everybody else isn't good enough.
Vince in San Francisco, you're on 95.7 The Game. What do you got, Vince?
Hey, I just wanted to talk about how, you know, I think Wiseman, he's definitely got the tool set. He's got the God-given ability. He's got the physical attributes. The dude could play. He knows how to play basketball. But it's kind of like when you get a guy who's played formalized basketball and has learned the fundamentals and knows how to use all of that versus a guy who's just been, you know, an absolute killer in pickup games and open run and stuff. I think that's kind of the issue with Wiseman, was he had all the talent, but he never had the real time to develop in college. He only played, what, maybe 10 games or something like that in college?
Not even.
You know, and I think that's
three.
A detriment. Yeah, I think that's a detriment to a lot of these young guys that turn pro. You know,
it is, but here, I mean, I guess
to say for guys who play 4 years in college, they learn stuff that you only would learn in college. And, it also can go to different sports. Now, look at Trey Lance. It's a whole other thing, but Trey Lance is kind of in the same boat. He has all this talent, but why was he not being used as a throwing quarterback? James Wiseman has all the tools, but he could never find his way onto the floor. And I think it's an IQ thing and him just not being able to pick it up.
I mean, I don't know if it's an IQ thing, and if it's an IQ thing, at some point, you just can't say, well, I got a bad student. You have to turn around and ask the teacher, well, what are you doing to make them better? They couldn't find a situation where James Wiseman became playable in their eyes. Like, not even to go in and close out a defensive possession at the end of a half. Like, you know, we're going to run basically some warped, weird version of a 3-1-1. I don't even know if there is a 3-1-1, but we're going to have three guys at the perimeter. We're going to have basically Draymond just playing free safety at the free throw line extended, and we're going to have Kuminga just roaming the lower block protecting the rim, and that's how we're going to try to close out a half, and we'll switch everything up front, but maybe Kuminga's just back there as a last line of defense. Like, they couldn't figure out any way to use him. And there's a part of me that wants to give the Warriors coaching staff the benefit of the doubt on that. And if you do want to extend to the Warriors coaching staff the benefit of the doubt on that, the only conclusion left is that James Wiseman just has gotten no dog and just can't do it, and that's why he's not here anymore. Because if they detected, well, he is a dog and he can do it eventually, he'd still be here. Like, I know that they're saving a little bit of money, but I don't think saving a little bit of money was enough reason for Joe Lacob to give up on one of his preferred hand-selected draft picks. The whole thing just smacks of it's really odd, and I get why it didn't fit, and you can talk about the player's IQ and how much time he missed based on injuries and COVID and the weird world that we'd been living in. And having said all that, he's still in year three. You know, when you got no marked improvement at all in year three, as a matter of fact, it's easier to spot the regression. How does that happen? On a team that we know is run correctly, coached well, with a player who looks like he's got the physical gifts created in basketball laboratories, how could they not get anything from him? Not a drop of water from the stone that was James Wiseman.
I think the 124 games he missed an injury is part of that, because he's really not year three. He's really at the tail end of year one. If you took an 82-game block, because he only played 60 games. Secondly, he was supposed to perform a specific set of tasks that didn't always allow him to roam free and jump with abandon and do the things that he could assemble as his skill set at such an early age.
That we're assuming Detroit will allow him to do.
Yeah, or they will be less critical about the details, because I think they want to see if he's got NBA skills in him. I think the Warriors, not only because they're still in win-now mode, because they have the players who are in win-now mode, they also use their center differently than a lot of teams do. They don't want the center to be ball dominant ever. They want him to be able to defend, set a proper high pick and roll, do nuanced stuff that you're never going to see in a box score. And I think Wiseman's great failure early on was that he believed that what they wanted was for him to run and jump and, you know, do physical stuff, when what they wanted him to do was the grinding stuff. And the grinding stuff doesn't come along easily. Certainly not with a 19-year-old, because you're thinking, why am I grinding? You took me second in the draft. You must love me. And the Warriors' parameters are different, because they are still, you know, in an ideal world, championship contenders. And they don't have a traditional center doing traditional center things.
All right, real quick. It's 4 o'clock, so I got to say, Here's also Ray at 4 o'clock. Welcome, everyone.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. Always live on Twitch, YouTube, and the free Odyssey app. Damn well better be free.
Continue.
I think if you're looking for the mistake, that the one place that hasn't been examined yet is that they took a reach with a high pick. And those always look more egregious than if James Wiseman was picked 24th. Because he was second, he's supposed to play for 10 years. And there's no evidence yet that he'll be able to do that. And the people who talk about his abundance of skills are guessing, because they didn't see him either. They have grainy film from three college games. That's it. So they, we don't know what James Wiseman is. What we know is...
Well, but James Wiseman has also been projected to be like the number one pick in the draft from the time he's like 8 years old. So he had been watched quite carefully and closely, even though we didn't get a big sample size of his early college career. You know, there's a reason why somebody is projected to be the best player of his generation years throughout their middle school years.
Well, I'll tell you what. When you can show me the 11-year-old that makes the NBA, I'll buy that logic. But the fact is, the leap from high school to college is a lot less severe than the leap from high school to pros. And when you pick a 19-year-old and you are hoping that what you saw in that very limited sample size at Memphis is going to translate to something, you are operating not on knowledge but on guesswork.
Right, but it's always impressive who makes the McDonald's All-American game, though. You know what I mean?
But you know what? Not all of them make it.
Not all of them.
And the truth is, he might be one of those.
He might be.
But the fact is, they said, we need a big guy, and we're going to take the 19-year-old with less than 70 minutes of college experience, and we're going to try to project that. And...
It's not a perfect thing. Like, I mean, Felipe Lopez, everybody. Felipe Lopez was the hottest thing ever out of New York City, preordained to be the single next greatest everything in basketball. He goes to St. John's, he gets drafted, never heard of again.
Yeah, oh no, and it happens a lot. What I'm saying is the Wiseman conundrum, as weird as it is, starts off weird because the Warriors, who usually have been relatively conservative in terms of player acquisition... Yeah, you know, we want proven guys who give us stuff that we specifically want. Drafted a guy who was essentially a blank slate, and they weren't going to take LaMelo Ball. They didn't need him. They weren't going to take Tyrese Haliburton because again, they've got guards.
Felt redundant. Those would have been perfect players and better options.
Yeah,
knowing what we know now.
Yeah, you know, Desmond Bane. You know, that might have been the best option, even though he's also a guard. But they needed some semblance of height and big man presence. And Wiseman looked like he could be that, but without the evidence to back it up.
And not to poke at you, but to say that they needed some semblance of height and a big man, did they? Shouldn't they have known better and known who they are and where their true identity and DNA comes from? It's a level of small ball that, even though it feels like another guard would have been a redundant pick based on who your guards were at the time, it's the right pick.
But you can't know what Desmond Bane's going to be.
Right.
And you can't know.
Same way you couldn't know what Wiseman was going to be.
Yeah.
So at least fit the guy who fits your system.
Well, the thing is, though, the guys who fit their system have been David West types, JaVale McGee types, guys who have been around the block at the NBA level. They've not been home run hitters in the draft for the most part. And
right, but JaVale, he had the experience, obviously, and experience matters.
Oh, he wasn't a difference maker, but he could give them 12 minutes, which is what they needed from him.
Right. And here's the thing. Nobody ever accused JaVale McGee of having a high basketball IQ. No one even gave him that benefit of the doubt when he was wearing a Warriors uniform. He was, you know, made fun of for being a ball of raw athletic clay that no one could ever really figure out. And they figured that out with him. Why couldn't they have figured it out in some way, shape, or form with James Wiseman? I do not know.
Because I think JaVale McGee knew how to be an NBA center and James Wiseman didn't.
That's fair. That's fair.
But that's my point. It's that the Warriors, who usually don't take dramatic chances, took a dramatic chance. And dramatic chances are at best a coin flip, and very often not. It's a three-sided coin in which two of them say loser.
And here is, to me, the weird part of it all, which makes this an odd kind of thing to discuss, is I would have taken that chance too. James Wiseman was a sexy enough physical prospect to where, having just devil's advocated every single thing you brought up, I still pick James Wiseman in the moment, knowing what we knew at that moment. I do. I would have also maybe pivoted off of the James Wiseman decision, the millisecond I heard Klay Thompson, which happened right before the draft started, tore his Achilles. That might have made me think, well, maybe that guard that would have been a little redundant or an abundance of a position is now more of a need than James Wiseman even is, because Klay ain't here no more. At least not for this upcoming year. So, again, it's all easy to go, you know, see everything 2020 in hindsight. But it's just, it's an unfortunate thing. There's no doubt about it. And the Warriors are still licking their wounds over it. And they ended up making a trade that allows them a player who is going to be a can't play scenario too, which sucks because they need a player. Vince in San Jose. What do you got, Vince?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? My whole thing is this. What a huge disappointment for the Warriors. I know it's somewhat of a heartbreak to me. I was big on Wiseman for, you know, a really long time. I liked him out of the draft, but, you know, it's obvious now that they missed on that pick. My question to you guys, looking at the way LaMelo plays, I know they didn't need him at the time, but if you figure that the Warriors picked LaMelo at that second spot, they wouldn't be in the predicament that they're in now, and they would have maybe, possibly, a generational talent. Because when I watch LaMelo, he's got length, he's got ball skill, he's got phenomenal vision. Gosh, did the Warriors miss on that pick?
Look, if LaMelo is that good on a Charlotte team that isn't good, would he have wore beige and blended in perfectly with the Warriors? Or would it be what Draymond was talking about, what James Wiseman's probably hoping? You know, on a really bad team that doesn't have a set of rules that it lives by, I can flourish as a player who looks better than he actually is because I get to put up some gaudy fat numbers because I'm out here for 36 minutes a night.
Yeah,
it would have been fascinating. I wish we could go back in time. I wish we could run that experiment too. I wish we had a multiverse and we could go to the second timeline where the Warriors did indeed draft LaMelo Ball. What would that have looked like 3 years into that?
I think you'd have had a very frustrated LaMelo Ball, because I don't know that. I mean, you know, what are you going to do with Poole then? Because you'd taken Poole the year before. I mean, do you write Poole off?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, then. Now you've got draft picks that are guard on a team that's already guard heavy. The biggest problem that the Warriors
have... You know, it's funny, though. They're always guard heavy, yet they've never not been in a situation where they don't need another guard.
Except that at some point, you have to have a big guy to get rebounds. Even if he's not dynamic. I mean, Andrew Bogut wasn't dynamic, but, you know, he gave you rebounds, he gave you shot blocking, he gave you a pick that people felt, and that's the Warriors wanted. But I'm looking at the 2020 draft, and there's almost no centers on it. I mean, period. I mean,
hey, look at the 2020 draft, there's not many NBA players on it. Period.
No, what I'm saying is, just looking at the position, ignoring all the numbers to the right,
yeah,
there's almost no center at all.
Right. Well, it's a dying position in the world of basketball. There's no doubt.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.